How many times have you said, well, I'd like to do it, but I don't have the time? Or let me check my calendar, see what I have scheduled. I don't need you to have a show of hands. Those are statements that I often find myself making, and I'm pretty sure you have too. One of the great characteristics of our day is our concern for time. We live with clocks. Now, my generation is used to the old-fashioned type. My grandchildren don't even know what this is. They're like this. But we live with clocks. Our lives are arranged according to the hours of the day. Up at a certain time. Time to eat. Time to work. Time to sleep. We're always checking to see what time it is. Even if you're retired, you may feel that there is never enough time to do all that is expected of us, or that we expect of ourselves. Remember in Gulliver's Travels, after talking to Gulliver about the function of his watch, the Lilliputians came to the conclusion that it was his god. Time exercises a certain tyranny over our lives. Not only are we living in what I call a time trap, but we are faced with the riddle of time. In spite of our obsession with it, we really don't know what time is. St. Augustine raised the question in his Confessions, Caius Tempus, what is time? And then he wrote, if no one asks me the question, I know. But if I must explain to someone who asked me, I do not know. So I think it's true that time is the one thing in the world of which the most use is made and of which the least is known. Now, we can look at time in a variety of ways. The Judeo-Christian tradition reflects that variety. We can see time and history as cyclic, a repetition of events with no beginning, no end. This was the Greek understanding of time, and we see it most clearly in the Bible in the famous third chapter of Ecclesiastes. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. So according to this view, there is nothing new under heaven. But with the coming of Christ, we see something new on the world scene. His followers realize that somehow, some way, through him, they were recreated. They discovered themselves made new, redeemed, reborn. And in Christ, they saw that cycle broken, because they saw purpose and ending to time. The apocalyptic thought represented in some parts of the Bible point us to an existence when time will be no more. They point to a timeless eternity in which the tyranny of time is broken. That freedom from time will be ushered in by the second coming of Christ. I spoke of this last Sunday when I said that most of us are rather uneasy with that idea. And we sometimes laugh at the images associated with the end of the world. Well, we might laugh, but we're still a little uneasy. And maybe the reason for our discomfort is this. The second coming denotes the end of time and the end of this world. And you and I like the world pretty much as it is. we're not at all sure we want it to end. Now, this is Christ the King Sunday, and all of the scripture today points to that time beyond time when Christ will reign. At his crucifixion, Jesus is mocked. If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And they nailed an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews. Earlier, Jesus is brought before Pilate and is asked the question, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And the reply comes, "My kingship is not of this world." So, Christ reigns, but not yet in this world. He is king, but not yet in this world. In his gospel, John equates the world with darkness, and he equates Christ with light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The clue to our uneasiness about the second coming of Christ is in another statement. People love darkness more than light. So you see the problem. His kingdom is not of this world, but we are too much of this world. Let's face it. To proclaim Christ as king is easy. To let him rule is not. Most of us are not ready for Christ to come again. There is too much that is wrong in our lives, and too little that is right. Too much despair and too little hope. Too much hate and too little love. Too much world in our lives and too little God. And we know that John was right when he refers to loving darkness rather than light. So there is the paradox in our lives. In our darkness, we yearn for light. We are dominated by our will, and yet we still long for his will. Trapped in time, we still seek eternity. Denying his kingship, we look for his kingdom. So here we are this morning. We profess to be Christians, citizens of the kingdom. And yet, you and I are very much in the world. We want to proclaim him king, and we still hold back our total allegiance. We are a mixture of belief and unbelief, of anxiety and assuredness, of saints and sinners, of acceptance and rejection, of love and hate. All because we and the whole creation are in the process of becoming. Becoming what God would have us be. And that's the Christian experience. One of becoming, one of growing. And that means there is an open-endedness to our existence that says it's not all cut and dried. Instead, we are not yet what we shall be. God is working his purpose out in us, in time and beyond time. Now that's a perspective that says that this day, this very moment, is part of a larger picture, that this present moment is very important, and that it does not exist in isolation, cut off from our past or our future. but instead it is determined by our past and is shaping our future. And this view of time is eternal. What some people call the eternal now. You and I are caught in this web of seeing time as parceled out in seconds, in hours, in days, in years. But from another view, reality just can't be so divided. And that reality, that seeing of the totality, is a reality that we call eternity. This view of time sees our lives, here and now, from eternal perspective. And as Christians, you and I need to cultivate that eternal perspective. When we begin to see time as a reality that is not divided from eternity, then we can live in the world and at the same time have an eternal perspective. As it has been said, we are to live with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. That is, we are not to disregard the world God has created, but we are to redeem the time. Not to wash our hands of the world, but to baptize the world. You and I can live each day as if Christ were returning that day and make time count until the promised end of time when Christ the King will reign. Amen.